Welcome to Pirate Money Radio with your host, Kevin Freeman, helping you unpack the economic headlines and providing real money solutions.
This may be one of the most important years in American history. And it's not just that we're celebrating America's 250th birthday. We must celebrate for sure. No nation in the history of the world has accomplished so much in such a short span of time. But, and yes, this is a big but, no pun intended, but we are facing an existential threat to our strength that endangers our future. Look around the world, you see Western civilization in retreat. We seemed invincible not long ago, having defeated Nazis, having defeated commies. Let freedom ring, right? Now, I want to draw a biblical analogy. We as a nation were strong like Samson, and foreign powers were seeking the secret to take away our power. They used the radical left like Delilah to probe for weaknesses, try and try again. They failed to out-innovate us. They tried to debate our ideas and lost badly. They attempted to beat us with an arms buildup. Everything failed until they decided to attack the church, both from the inside and the outside. Do you know that the Christian church is under assault around the world? Physical assault designed to destroy faith and force submission to an evil, ungodly, totalitarian system masquerading as a religion. Here at home, churches are only beginning to feel physical attacks. We've long been in the period when the church was being seduced by Delilah, as Delilah seduced Samson before he was beaten. But too often we've fallen prey to the seductions of new thinking, rejecting the gospel of Jesus Christ. That sapped our strength, worse than Samson getting a haircut. But don't despair. God is still on his throne. Jesus remains faithful even when we have been faithless. To better understand what we're facing, I'm pleased to welcome Dee Dee Laugesen, president of Save the Persecuted Christians. She has a message to wake up the American church and to stand with our persecuted brothers and sisters around the world. Welcome, Dee Dee.
Thanks, Kevin. It's so good to be here again with you.
Well, you know, you were here with Azerbaijan and
Armenia. Yes, Saranoush Sargassian, to tell you about her experience being forced into exile from Nagorno-Karabakh after the blockade.
Which was a tragedy. How is that working out? What's going on there?
Well, it's been amazing. I went to Armenia at the end of July, early August, just before the peace accord at the White House between Azerbaijan and Armenia. And thankfully, now, there is no war over Armenia and Azerbaijan. It's been a very long time. This is a historic peace accord. But Azerbaijan still holds 23 prisoners in Azerbaijan that really need to be returned to Armenia. The war is over. It's time to return the prisoners.
It is. And Armenia is longstanding. I mean, maybe the first nation to turn to Christ as an entire nation.
Yeah. Well, I was in November. We helped a nonprofit in Armenia stand up the first ever Republic of Armenia prayer breakfast. And people came from all over the world to pray with Armenia and the Armenian prime minister for the nations. And we really hope Armenia is in such a tough neighborhood. So Islamists on every side.
But a strong America was essential. Mm-hmm. American strength is really important. And the American church is the secret to American strength. So what is the state of the church today, around the world or here at home?
Here at home, the church is struggling. President Trump signed an executive order to get rid of the Johnson Amendment and allow ministers and pastors and priests to speak from the pulpit about political issues in the United States. But many still are holding back, and they don't want to be involved in politics because they don't see it as holy. But truly, one of the greatest threats against Christianity in the world is Islamization, and it really has to do with 80% of the persecution of Christians in the world today.
Say that again. 80% of the persecution of Christians in the world today comes from
Sharia
Islam.
Supremacism.
Really?
Those who believe that Islam is superior to all other faiths and beliefs. 80% of the 388 million heavily persecuted Christians in the world, according to the Open Doors World Watch list that was just released in mid-January. Kevin, when I started working on Save the Persecuted Christians, There were 215 million heavily persecuted Christians in the world. That was 2018, a mere 8 years ago.
And now the total
almost
is
doubled.
Wow. And you say this, you say other faiths. We agree. I know we've had a lot of conversations. Islam isn't a faith. It means submission. It is an ideology. It is not a religion in any traditional sense that Americans would imagine. It hasn't been since Thomas Jefferson first looked at it. This is not a traditional religion. It is a submission. It is as evil as communism in forcing people to the will of a few elite who want to run and control everything.
Absolutely true. It's a conquering political system that masks itself as a religion. They call it the religion of peace, but peace to Islam is complete submission of all other faiths and people to the will of Allah, who I believe is Satan.
Oh, this is certainly like, you know, if the mafia comes into your area, you want to have peace in your area? Here, you pay me a tax and you do what I tell you. And yeah, you'll have peace. Be ashamed if something bad happened to your store here kind of thing. And that is what Islam is doing. It's a mafia-like tactics to suppress, control, manipulate. And it's certainly not good for women in particular.
But again, we are so fortunate here in America that we have had a fall into loss of morals and any sense of anchoring to truth and right. And then came President Trump, and he is standing strongly for persecuted Christians around the world. Indeed, he has made it known he will defend persecuted Christians. And he's doing so right now in places like Nigeria and elsewhere around the world. So we're hopeful, but his time is short. And America is struggling because we've had so many attacks from those enemies within that want to divide and tear us apart, especially at the family level. So it's imperative that people return to church, but that also church leaders return to faith and are able to express that to the people in their congregations, that when we don't have faith, something will come and fill that vacuum. And right now, Islam is coming into America to fill that vacuum.
Oh, and it is. Islam and Hinduism are the two fastest growing religions in the United States of America, neither of which is even close to Christianity. And really, in the case of Islam, it's not even a religion. It is a submission. And we've seen that, Didi, and we've talked about this, and it's just getting worse. You think, well, Dearborn, Michigan has fallen, it looks like, and now Mamdani's elected in New York, but you're here in Texas.
Yeah.
Why would you bring this message to Texas right now?
Well, I think there's a rising momentum in the United States to counter Islam and its agenda. We've seen after October 7th our college campuses taken over by Palestinian groups that are supporting Hamas, that are supporting terrorism over God's people and over Jews and over Christians. So we see this rising understanding of what Islam's agenda truly is, that it is not a religion of peace as we know it. And they're coming for America. President Trump has moved to ban the Muslim Brotherhood softly. In Texas, though, Governor Abbott banned the Muslim Brotherhood and CARE, and now on March 3rd, the people of Texas will have the opportunity to vote on Proposition 10, Texas should prohibit Sharia law. Vote yes on Proposition 10.
Vote yes on Proposition 10. All right, so here's the reality. We're facing, it's a spiritual war, but we're also facing an economic war. And entering into Texas and all across the United States is an economic jihad, whereas food will have to be produced to halal standards and Islamic finance. And they've tried to make it profitable to support Islam. All right, we've got a lot to cover in this show, but keep this in mind. There are only three things you can do with your money. You can give it, spend it, or invest it. Here at Pirate Money Radio, we work to explain solutions that support all three areas in a way to promote liberty, security, and values. Patriot Mobile, it's a mobile phone company. It's a Christian company, supports the Pirate Money Radio program. Patriot Mobile uses U.S. carriers, including AT&T, Verizon, and T-Mobile, and operates on both Apple and Android phones. More information about the economic war room, Patriot Mobile is available at piratemoneyradio.com/AFR. That's piratemoneyradio.com/AFR. All right, we're up almost on time for a break, Didi, but tell us again, what do Texans need to do on March 3rd?
Early voting starts on the 17th of February. March 3rd is the primary election. They need to vote yes on Proposition 10, to Texas should forbid Sharia law.
Absolutely, Texas should forbid Sharia law. We're going to take a break. When we come back, we'll be back with Didi Lagos, and we'll be talking about persecuted Christians and what we can do for them. We'll be right back.
Every day across the globe, big business agendas go unseen by investors. Things that go against your core values and beliefs. It's time to know your investments. Abortion. Alternative lifestyles. Gender and identity confusion. If you believe in protecting marriage and life, children, innocence, guarding masculinity, restoring families, defending religious liberty, invest with your values. Before investing, carefully consider the fund's investment objectives, risks, charges, and expenses of the investment company. This and other important information can be found in the fund's prospectus. To obtain a copy, visit timothyplan.com or call 800-846-7526. Read each prospectus carefully before investing. Investing involves risk, including the potential loss of principal.
Welcome back to Pirate Money Radio with your host, Kevin Freeman.
And I'm joined by Didi Lagesson of Save the Persecuted Christians. It's an incredible ministry. Didi, where can people go to support Save the Persecuted Christians?
SaveThePersecutedChristians.org. They can find us online or Persecuted Save on X.
Okay. SaveThePersecutedChristians.org. All right. We've been talking right before the break about prohibiting Sharia. Sharia is an all-encompassing submission to really a 6th century guy that came along, hey, here's my new religion and you should join me. And then if you don't, I will kill you. I mean, literally, that's what it says in the Quran. It's not your traditional religion. But in particular, Sharia is bad for everybody. But in particular, why is it bad for women?
Sharia is the all-encompassing political rules of daily life. It's not just political. It really goes down to what you wear, how you behave in society. And under Sharia, women are to cover their hair with a veil, to be in modest dress, which often means a full body veil. They cannot go out and about in public without a male accompanying them. They need permission from their husbands. When women go to court, to family law, their voice is 10 times less than that of a Muslim male. They frequently will lose their children to Sharia. It's not like the U.S. legal system in family law where everybody comes and you're equal at the table. The minute a woman walks into court under Sharia, a Sharia court, she is seen as a lesser person and her voice is not even heard. So it's enslavement for women.
It's, you know, you'll hear liberals talk about, oh, I don't want to go down to the Handmaid's Tale. This is real life version of that, 10 times worse.
10 times worse.
and if you want to leave it, if you want to leave this all-encompassing way of life, and you've been under Sharia, what happens to you? It's called apostasy. What does that mean?
Leaving Islam is called apostasy, and under Sharia, those people should be killed.
Say that again. If you want to leave Islam under Sharia law, the punishment is death?
The punishment is death, and in 11 countries, it's a criminal penalty, the death penalty, you will die.
So if somebody comes along and says, you're Muslim because your father was Muslim, and you say, yeah, but I'm a Christian now, then under Islam in 11 countries, but it's not just those 11 countries, is it? There are places in this world that we would think are Christian historically. For example, you brought some friends with you. Tell a little bit about apostasy and why you're here to legalize it.
Well, the mere persistence of laws like that on the books in 11 countries in the world incites radicalism and violence against all Muslims thinking about or actually leaving Islam. They are now subject to all Muslims in the world must live by Sharia. This is not a radical approach. This is their belief. All Muslims are beholden to kill those who have left Sharia and left Islam. And my friend Nisar Hussain is an English citizen born and raised. His parents came from Pakistan. He was raised Muslim, but he converted to Christianity. Instantly, 30 years ago, instantly, he came under persecution by his neighbors, and the police have utterly failed to arrest or prosecute anyone who has tortured and violated this family and their property for years on years on years. And now they've been forced to live into hiding under police protection in his own homeland because he's being hunted by his Muslim neighbors in England.
Historically, England is a Christian nation and spread the gospel around the world, ended slavery, has done so many things as a part of the Christian faith. I mean, this is an amazing country that is unfortunately being overrun and submitting to Islam even as we speak. So someone who left the faith and heard the gospel has then come under severe persecution, physical assault, his family's been assaulted, his money has been taken from him. It's just cost him virtually everything. He is a modern-day living martyr. I don't want to say he's a martyr of being killed, but he's a modern-day living martyr, nearly killed a couple of times. So, Didi, thank you so much for being back at Pirate Money Radio. We're going to take a break. When we come back, we're going to bring on your friend Nisar Hussain so we can understand what it means to be a Christian in an increasingly Islamified society. We'll be right back.
Gold holds its value far better than the US dollar. Let's see what happens when I go in this sweet shop and pay with gold.
Can I pay with gold?
Find out how much it costs.
Do you know why I'm even using gold?
I do not.
It holds its value over time.
Yeah.
But it's a bit difficult to spend, isn't it? Do you take this?
Yes.
That's MasterCard. Yeah, but this is, I'm actually going to pay with gold, believe it or not. Using this. That's my MasterCard and it's linked to my gold wallet. So let's just watch that. Authorizing. Yeah, add a tip.
Thank you.
So this is your store?
Yes, sir.
And how much gold did I pay?
0.2243 grams.
Yeah, success. Bought with gold, paid with glint.
Pirate Money Radio, helping you give, spend, and invest in ways that align with liberty, security, and values. Welcome back with your host, Kevin Freeman.
And we talk about liberty, security, and values. We talk about the gospel of Jesus Christ. We talk about sharing the good news with your neighbor. Can you imagine, though, that you had the good news shared with you, and you decided, I'm going to become a Christian, and your neighbors all of a sudden decided, well, then we must kill you. That sounds like science fiction or weird fiction or something. I mean, but it is reality if you happen to live in the United Kingdom. I know that because Didi Laugesen, we just had on, she brought from Save the Persecuted Christians in a new friend, someone I've gotten to know over the past week or so, Nisar Hussain. You're from the United Kingdom, Nisar, and really, you accepted Jesus as your Lord and Savior, and that began your persecution story.
Yes, sir, that's correct. Yeah, born in
UK or England, 1965, born to Pakistani Kashmiri parents. So I'm first generation, and we've been subjugated, just like as I would be in Pakistan or Saudi Arabia for no other reason than embracing Christianity back in 96.
Now, what brought you? It's 1996. You've got Pakistani parents. You're in the United Kingdom. And you know, at that point, you wouldn't say that it was a Sharia-controlled country. It was beginning to head that direction. But then you heard the good news of Jesus. What brought you to that? How'd you get there?
In essence, the truth and revelation of Jesus Christ. Yeah, if truth be known. That's simple as that, you know. So my brother died very suddenly. He was a year younger than myself. It was a very painful experience of my life. And if I go back, Kevin, I actually converted at the age of 15 through a school friend of mine, John Lennon. Actually, he was quite a rough guy, you know?
I cannot let that pass. John Lennon.
Yeah.
Not the same one that wrote the Beatles music.
No, sir. Yeah. I believe his parents were very much into the Beatles.
Yeah.
So hence.
If I had the last name Lennon, I'd probably name my son John, too. I get it. Or McCartney, it'd be Paul. But
yeah.
Okay. So you met John Lennon, age 15.
Yeah. Sort of. I'm sort of talking 81, sort of 82 like this. And actually, he was quite a rough kid. And he was a racist. And he would openly make racist remarks. And, he would reference racist remarks to myself and others like me, bearing in mind we weren't sort of many at that point, you know. And he would go away, play truant, go to what we call a very famous bullring center of Birmingham, and do the markets and trading and such like. And he'd get collared by the school authorities and be hoisted back to school. And this went on for a couple of years, and then all of a sudden, he came back to school. The Mohican hairstyle is gone. The Dr. Martins, have disappeared. His ear piercings have gone. He's covered his tattoos, civil dress code. And his demeanor was that different. And I noticed he had a book in his carry bag, and he'd pull it out every break time and be reading it. And it came to my attention, it was a Bible. And it blew me away. And I was just attracted to him like a magnet. And I surmised the change in him had to be the power of God. And I would converse with him, and he's telling me he's a born-again Christian. I didn't know what a born-again Christian was, because we had to conform to the Muslim way of life. We'd leave school and we'd go to mosque, right, and learn the Quranic scriptures. So we would spend hours and hours talking, and then he passed me a Gideon New Testament. We believe it was a taboo and a lie, of Christians, and I put it in my inside pocket, and I guarded it zealously, and I went home, and I put it on my mattress, and in the evening time, at bedtime, I would read it. So I came to faith through reading Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. I embraced Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior in my bedroom.
Wow. And that's a dramatic story, Nisar. I mean, it is, as a young child, and it is contrary to the culture. But you didn't think that was an illegal act, did you? You didn't think that the government would abandon you and leave you to...
Oh, no, nothing of the sort. There was this fear and apprehension of what if my dad or my mother... or the family, I felt I was the only Christian on the face of the earth.
Wow. All right, so we're talking with Nisar Hussain, who has left Islam and come to Christ, and he's about to tell us his persecution story and what that's cost him. We'll be covering this right after this break.
Oh, hi, I'm Kevin Sorbo, and I'm here to tell you about coffee. Well, not really, but I'm going to use coffee to illustrate my point. Here we have several different coffees, each with its own unique characteristics. First, we have instant coffee. This coffee pretends to be coffee, but it's not really coffee at all. It's a fraud. Plus, it tastes terrible. I'm out. Next, we have woke coffee. Their coffee actually tastes pretty good. Until you find out that when you drink it, you have to admit that you've oppressed other coffees in the past. Insanity. I'm out. Next, we have big tech coffee. Now, these guys used to encourage folks to share with others what they thought about their coffee. But now, if you say you don't like big tech coffee, they'll take away your coffee pot. I'm out. This brings us to Patriot Mobile Coffee, right? This is one big cup of truth and freedom. There's no fraud here. Patriot Mobile is America's real Christian conservative wireless provider. Patriot Mobile gives back millions of dollars every year to organizations that are on the front lines fighting for our freedoms. Patriot Mobile offers the best nationwide 4G and 5G coverage on the same networks as the other major carriers. So you'll get the same great coverage along with 100% U.S.-based customer support while knowing you are supporting a company that shares your conservative values. Switch to Patriot Mobile today by visiting patriotmobile.com or call 972-PATRIOT.
Welcome to Pirate Money Radio with your host, Kevin Freeman, helping you unpack the economic headlines and providing real money solutions.
And we're talking with Nassar Hussain. We're talking about his incredible journey in England, where he actually adopted and accepted the gospel of Jesus Christ, read the Bible, came to faith, had a heart change because he saw his friend John Lennon and how the change had happened there. Well, Nassar, you're here in America now, and you've been carrying a warning. You were D.D. Loggison, and you've been carrying a warning. Tell us about what happened after that. What has your last 30 years been like as you've dealt with the U.K. authorities and Sharia and all of that? Explain some of your journey.
It's been pretty abysmal, to say the least, actually, and that's using kind words. Bradford Police, in actual fact, the politicians, the government, they've signed my death warrant.
How so?
Yeah, we mustn't upset Islam and we mustn't upset Muslims. And so it started with, as per usual, two episodes. The initial phase, one address, my family and I were hounded out, okay, through life and death situation. And then we relocated to another part of Bradford. And after a few years, it started there through a demented clan family. But actually, they're not that demented. All they're doing, they're following their Islamic law.
Which is Sharia.
By the way, I know more about Sharia at this stage in my life than I ever did growing up as a Muslim, because one is never taught the Sharia. You go along, you learn the Quranic scripture, and you get whipped for your troubles, ears yanked and kicked and punched, and it's just a medieval system. And then, you come home resenting the idea of all this, but nevertheless you're under an Islamic household. But my dad, to be fair, he was a people's man, okay, and going back. In the 70s, growing up, we were a minority. Now it's the other way around, which I'll allude to in a while. And of course, he drank beer. He went out. He liked to enjoy life with his English friends, Friday, Saturday. Oftentimes, I'd go to the local pub to pull him out if a relative came unexpectedly, or the betting office, or the bookies, as we call it. Saturday morning, he'd be there in the bookies, this smoke-filled place. Again, I'd go and call him out, So I have these memories. So my dad was liberal, although they're under the banner of Islam, very liberal, drinking alcohol, smoking. Of course, the last three decades, things have gone really, really bad in England by way of Islamism.
Yeah, really bad in England, such that at several points, one or two in particular, where, if you'd been drinking and violating Sharia in those ways, you get away with it. But you did the worst possible thing. You became an apostate.
Yes. And so, if I may share, Kevin,
go ahead.
These books, you've seen them.
Yeah.
Okay. So, just for the American people, this is called The Reliance of the Traveler. Okay, Kevin? And you can see there, it says, a classic manual of Islamic sacred law. Would you agree?
Yes.
Okay. So I have got it lined up here. So this is now telling us, actually, apostasy from Islam, yep. Ridda in Arabic, leaving Islam is the ugliest form of unbelief, kufr, okay? When a person who has reached puberty and is sane voluntarily apostatizes from Islam, he deserves to be killed.
Yeah, for us, that is actually accepting the gospel of Jesus, the creator of heaven and earth, and he had a plan and died for us.
Yes.
Although that would deny that. Jesus didn't die according to Islam. He wasn't resurrected. He's not God. But you accepted a different faith, and for that they pronounced, you must be killed.
You must be killed. And if I may draw your attention finally to this book, it's Islamic Law in the Contemporary World.
Yes.
Not the medieval world,
right,
or 7th century Arabian world,
right,
but the contemporary world, okay? And this also is telling us, actually, apostasy is capital sin.
Oh, capital sin means capital punishment.
Off with your head.
Literally, beheading.
Yep. Yes.
It's not by injection, it's not by hanging, it is literally beheading.
If I was in Saudi Arabia, born and raised there, or Pakistan, off with my head. But Pakistan doesn't. It seems to incarcerate you, or you know, and such like. But Saudi Arabia certainly, you know, or the Middle Eastern countries, Qatar, and these places. As you know, we are running a campaign. We've lodged a genocide case with a firm of solicitors in London, actually highlighting the 11 murderous nations right now who go with this.
Follow Sharia,
and we should be killed.
This is horrifying, and you've been, I know I've seen your story, and people should follow you and look up your story of where you've been beaten, where your family has been harassed, where your vehicles have been trashed, where you've been arrested for your safety to get you out of there. I mean, this is in England. But the amazing thing, though, is you talk to the politicians and you talk to the police, and they wouldn't do anything other than say, you're an embarrassment, we've got to move you, we've got to hide you. And yet, when you came here to the United States, I know for a fact, because you were right sitting where I am, and GBTV, which is like the most popular news program in England, they took notice.
GB News, yes, actually, yes. So, look, sir, it's a failed state, and I express that clearly. I've been expressing it for the last 30 years. So the first 20 years, actually, we were on the front line and made to be on the front line and put in the trenches. So we've gone through things. I could speak to you till tomorrow. Time simply doesn't afford what we've gone through. We've been under siege on a daily basis, as you've said. Cars have been torched, cars have been, you know, sort of rammed and drive-by brickings. But look, these things are neither here nor there. But it's our personal safety that's been the problem. They seem to have this impunity with lawlessness under the nose of the police to have this witch hunt against us, okay? And they are immune from any prosecution and the law. Why? Because they're terrified of a religious Muslim riot. By the way, there have been two riots in Bradford 20 years ago. They turned all the English businesses upside down. And so they've expanded at the rate of knots. And of course, they are promoting Sharia, all things Sharia, and the police are terrified.
And you have a warning for Texas. I mean, you're here warning, and the United States, that we're on that same path, maybe not far behind.
Yeah. You know, it's actually been quite frightening to understand that there's a big Sharia problem here, actually. And so I will tell you from the bottom of my heart, if America leans towards Sharia and allows this thing, Western civilization as we know it is finished. It's doomed. It could take 5 years, it could take 10 years. And I've been very generous, actually. I don't think you've got 5 years. I've tried to say you've got 5 years, but I don't think so. Western civilization is finished. We've had a quarter of a million English girls who have been raped systematically, rape jihad, okay? The police dumbed this down 30 years ago. Parents were in utter distress going to the police stations, begging the police to save their daughters. They've been plied with drug and drink, okay? They were telling them they're at this property, and the police would threaten the parents with arrest. This has all come out more recently than prior. So believe you me, save yourselves, save your future generations and your children's children.
Now, and this is on the ballot in Texas on March 3rd. You've been proclaiming loudly that Texas must prohibit Sharia law, and that's on the ballot, Proposition 10, March 3rd. Go to the polls and vote yes on Proposition 10, yeah. At least to make the loud statement, we're not surrendering. Islam is about submission. If we don't submit, yeah. Islam fails.
Absolutely. I love Western civilization. I was born into it. I've seen Sharia not creep in, but actually enforce Sharia enforcement loudly and openly. And believe you me, you don't want that.
We don't want any of this. Thank you, Nassar Hussain, for your boldness in standing up. All right, we're going to have another guest, one of your good friends, Neil Petrie, will come back with us right after the break, and we'll be talking about the encroachment of Sharia and how we stop it. We'll be right back.
I'm outside Babe's, which I'm told is the quintessential chicken restaurant here in Roanoke, Texas. Let's go and see if we can buy the food in here, chicken with gold.
This is gonna be the fried chicken.
This is unbelievable. How am I gonna fill this in? I seriously actually don't know how to begin with this. This is so overwhelming. Do you think I can pay with gold?
I don't know, you may have to ask the cashier. I don't handle it.
Can I pay with gold? But actually, you said I could pay with this? Okay, I'm gonna pay with this, but I'm gonna pay with gold. So look at the price of gold going up. That's pretty cool, yeah? Right, this is Babe's, yeah?
Yeah.
How much gold did I pay? Gold, how many grams?
0.26.
Quarter of a gram of gold. How about that?
That's pretty cool.
That's pretty
cool, yeah. Success! Bought with gold, paid with glint.
Welcome back to Pirate Money Radio with your host, Kevin Freeman.
Yeah, Neil, we've been talking about creeping Sharia, how it's entered the United States, how it's been a threat around the world, how Islam means submission. It's not really a religion. It is literally an ideology to force everyone to submit. Women are lesser than men under Sharia. Women have to cover themselves or they're subject to potential rape. Women are property. Women have to obey their husbands and all of these things, not as a religious choice, but as a forced submission. We've been talking about apostasy, and if you leave Islam, you are subject to the death penalty in 11 countries. We've been talking about Save the Persecuted Christians with Didi Lagesson. We just had Nassar Hussain on, and you know, he comes from the United Kingdom. You would think this is a once great Christian nation, and yet it is falling fast for Sharia and Islam. You know, other things, many great things have come from the British people, from England, from the United Kingdom through the years. And support for this program comes from Glint. It's a financial technology service that started in the United Kingdom. It offers a debit card and mobile app that enables users to access gold holdings for everyday purchases. With Glint, users maintain ownership of allocated physical gold, which is stored in a managed vault. At the time of a transaction, gold is sold in real time to cover the purchase amount in local currency. Glint offers an alternative way to store and use the value, combining gold and silver with modern payment infrastructure. Glint clients can monitor their gold balance, view transaction history, and manage their account through the Glint app available on major mobile platforms. More details about how vaulted physical gold can be used as money are available at glintpay.com/gold247. Again, that's glintpay.com/gold247. Glint, providing access to gold for modern spending. Now, gold is something that was used long time ago as money, and then it got replaced just with fiat money. Long time ago, Christianity put down the threat of Sharia law, and we won battle after battle, military battles. Our next guest here in Pirate Money Radio is Neil Petri, and he shares with us from a military perspective. He's good friends with Nisar, he's friends with Didi, and he came here from the United Kingdom to warn us in the United States from a more military intelligence background. Welcome, Neil, to Pirate Money Radio.
Thank you very much. Thanks for that introduction. Yeah, as you said, I was military. I was 16 years in the army. And when I left, I went to Central Asia and I worked across Central Asia and the Middle East for about 15 years. So as long as I'd spent in the military, I spent, you know, in private security and that type of stuff. So I had a lot of employees, obviously, who are working in the companies that I ran. So I studied Quran. You know, I wanted to know about the culture. So I learned a great deal about Sharia and the issues. In particular, you know, in the end, I looked at apostasy as being, you know, when you look at the American Constitution, your first, you know, amendment right to, you know, your religion,
right,
choosing your religion. So that's the difference, really, that you have with Islam and the Sharia. And Sharia is the foundation of the faith. So it's actually the lawyers who control Sharia. And the Sharia is basically this mixture of the hadiths of Muhammad and some of the Quranic, you know, strictures. So when you understand that, you can see that it's a life that is ordered by the jurists, the lawyers. So that is the control, you know, kind of function that they have. So if you're looking at Islam as an issue, then it's really the Sharia that is the one that gives us the most problems, because it's the only religion that's demanding your death for leaving it. You know, and obviously I have many Muslim friends from my times in those various countries I worked in right across Central Asia and the Middle East. So they are restrained, even if they're Muslims, obviously, by these laws. So they have that problem. They cannot leave it because they're under, you know, a threat of death.
So opposing Sharia is not racist. It's actually being a human being and saying you have an individual right of conscience before God. It's not racist at all.
No, not in the least. You know, it's just a legal issue, you might say, actually, more, rather than even a religious one. It's the Sharia is the foundation of the faith, and that is a law code. So this is a legal issue, and that is why, you know, the Legalized Apostasy team put together quite some time these issues together to put together a genocide case concerning those 11 countries. I mean, it goes a bit beyond that, because obviously it's those who support it, you know, in our nations, you know, as we saw with Nisar's history, then that's the danger, is that it is not just in those 11 countries. It can be applied by the community in many nations.
And it, unfortunately, coming here to America. All right, we'll take a break. When we're back, we'll be with Neil Petri talking about how to save America.
Washington said paper money opens the door to every species of fraud and injustice. Jefferson said paper is poverty. Hamilton said to emit an unfunded paper as the sign of value ought not to continue a formal part of the Constitution. The founders hated paper money, so they put a pirate money clause in the Constitution for our state to use. Learn more at transactionalgold.com.
Pirate Money Radio, helping you give, spend, and invest in ways that align with liberty, security, and values. Welcome back with your host, Kevin Freeman.
Yes, and I'm joined with Neil Petri, and we're talking about how Sharia has conquered much of the Middle East and is encroaching in England in particular, but now coming to America. You've been here for a few weeks now. What have you learned since you've been here?
Yeah, well, obviously, there are the same issues in terms of, you know, Sharia doesn't change. It can't change because it's, you know, set in stone. It's divine law as far as, you know, the Muslims are concerned. So if you're in America or the UK, it's pretty much the same. And, you know, they will live quietly under the local law to a certain extent, you know, in the UK or the US. But underneath it all, the preparations are being made for a Sharia state. these are the realities, and you could end up with a split like India, Pakistan, and Bangladesh. You know, eventually these are what confront nations that have a large Muslim community, eventually, or complete submission. There are various options, so it's a matter of how do you deal with this. And so I you know, our feeling is that under the law codes of Sharia, you have to compare those to ours. The worst crime in the West is genocide. And that is the, you know, deliberate killing or threatening to kill, etc., of people as a group. Well, people like Nisar Hussein and other ex-Muslims were defined by one of our leading human rights lawyers in a book in 2012 as being protected under the Genocide Convention as part of one of those groups. So that's the issue, is that, you know, the Western law codes say what Islam wishes to do to Nisar and his type are, you know, is a direct genocidal threat. And so those 11 countries that openly state that are, you know, genocidal in terms of the law code. So that is why the code was put together, or the case was put together. It's sitting, as Nisar mentioned, in the in tray of these lawyers in London. It's awaiting funding. It needs about $70,000. And, you know, there's a GoFundMe on the website for Legalize.
Where do we find that GoFundMe?
Yeah, it's on the website, legalizeapostasy.com. It's spelt with an S because we're British. You know, that's how that works. So you can download
now,
money there.
This is the dividing line. You said it, and it's so clear, and you've helped me to see it. The dividing line in the West, genocide is the worst of all crimes. That's why Hitler was the worst, because he tried to wipe out the Jews and many other people, not just the Jews, but many other, anybody that opposed Nazism. Under Sharia, the worst crime is leaving the faith. They call it apostasy. And so they say, essentially, if you leave the faith, then we should kill you. It is genocide. It's been defined as genocide. So it is a complete diametric opposition between, is it genocide or is it enforcing the punishment against the worst crime? Now, as Christians, we absolutely believe that you should have freedom of conscience. If you aren't Christian and choose not to be Christian, that is your choice. That's what the gospel is. You choose. You choose God or not choose God. Under Islam, it doesn't matter if you want to choose or not, you must submit. You either choose to be Muslim, or you're a lesser person and you pay a tax and you're subjugated to all these things. But if you ever once a Muslim and you leave, you should be killed. Is that right?
That is correct. And, one of our great advisors, unfortunately passed away last October, was formerly a Sharia judge, you know, in Sudan, and he had to escape when he converted to Christianity. And so the laws and the codes are pretty incontrovertible, which is why our, UK expert in human rights law made this point. And that's the issue, really, is that when people understand that those who are, Muslims, they can't leave because of the threat, and if they do leave, then they're under this threat of execution. It might be applied differently in certain states, etc., obviously, but the bottom line is they can change, and countries that, didn't apply it before can apply it now. The Sudan was one of those that took away the right to kill apostates, but it broke out into civil war, very recently. So, it's an extremely serious issue. It is the way of, forcing reform on Islam, if it's at all possible. And in fact, President Sisi of Egypt demanded this. He went to, in 2015, he went to Al-Azhar University and said, look, we need to change our laws, to those scholars, to those clerics, to those jurists who run Sharia. So even within Islam, there are people like President Sisi who are doing what we're saying and demanding, that they look at that.
This is a civilization jihad issue. It's something you need to be paying attention to. It's amazing to have you, Nisar, and Didi with us. All right, this is the wrap-up for Pirate Money Radio, unless you're following on AFR or our podcast. In that case, stay tuned. Here's a $10 bill. It's got the picture of Alexander Hamilton on the front of it. It's kind of sad. When I was 10 years old, everything that I could buy for a dollar now costs about $10. That's the cost of inflation. It's just paper. It's not backed by anything. You can't exchange it for gold and silver. You used to, but you can't do that anymore. And that's unfortunate. Pirates wouldn't accept this. Pirates, they wanted gold and silver. patriots, the founders of this nation, also wanted gold and silver coin. In fact, they put a provision in the Constitution, 17 words, that said states could only make gold and silver coins tender within the states. That's why I wrote this new book, Pirate Money, Discovering the Founders' Hidden Plan for Economic Justice and Defeating the Great Reset. It will explain exactly the history of money and exactly why gold and silver coins can be made modern with new technology and a useful monetary system. PirateMoneyBook.com.
Welcome back to Pirate Money Radio with your host, Kevin Freeman.
We've had an incredible show. We've had Dee Dee Loggison from Save the Persecuted Christians. She brought over her friends from the UK, Nisar Hussain, and also Neil Petrie. And we've been talking about what's happened in the United Kingdom and why we must not let that happen here. We've been talking about apostasy and leaving Islam and what that means and what Sharia law is. And I brought Nisar back up for a final segment because you have been a man of faith. You have taken a very bold step and stood for what you know to be truth. You stood for your faith at great personal and family cost. What would be your final message to America here on this program? Not your final message, because your voice is going to resonate for decades to come. And I know that you've got an important message. You're a leader in an amazing movement. But what would you say to Americans?
Yeah, thank you so much for that intro again, Kevin. You don't feel so important when you almost beaten to inch of your life and such like and 20 years of persecution. But look, you know what? The scripture is amazing, and I hold steadfast to God's word. And right now, I just feel to say that there's a scripture in John 8, verse 32. You shall know the truth, and the truth will set you free. And as my pastor used to say, that the greatest gift that God endowed to man was freedom. And despite the fact that we've had these freedoms robbed from us in a country that has pushed out freedoms in the four corners of the world, sadly, those freedoms no longer exist. We've been felled by bishops. I've been personally felled by Archbishop Justin Welby, who turned their backs on us, actually. Appeasement is not the way. Stand steadfast in the Christian faith, in God's word. You know, it's liberating, and it's the truth. And so I'm a child of the light. We've come out of 7th century darkness. And what could be more amazing? So I resolved myself, not as a martyr, but I thought, you know what? If they're going to kill me, it's okay. Sudden death, sudden glory, fine. But it was God's word that kept me sustained all this time, despite the storm around us. So America, please don't give up your freedoms. Again, please think of your future generations, your children's children. And I hear stories of young people marrying Eastern men. That's all good and well. Please be warned, it's a one-way street. If you go along Sharia, you also are going to face the death sentence when you leave this religion. It's a one-way street.
You know, we say you can vote yourself into socialism, but you have to fight your way out. You can enter into submission to Sharia, but then you'd have to fight your way out. And you've been fighting. You're a hero to me, Nisar. You're a hero to the Christian faith. I'm so thankful that you are here with Dee Dee and Neil. Look, we're facing a lot of challenges in the United States. If you live in Texas, you've got something you can do about it. You can vote Proposition 10, vote yes to ban Sharia law and help save Texas and save America. That's Proposition 10 on March 3rd. That's an issue of whether or not you're going to stand for your Christian faith or you're going to let Sharia, which tells you you must submit your Christian faith and surrender it to live here. All right, if you have questions, prayer needs, comments, email us at afr@piratemoneyradio.com. Pray for America. Listen wherever you get your podcasts. This is Kevin Freeman, joined this week by my friend Nisar Hussain for Pirate Money Radio.